And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning. We hope you are doing well. And joining us in studio this morning is State Senator Virgil Peck. And Virgil, good morning. How are you doing today?
Hey, Kyle. I'm doing great. It's amazing how wet it is for I don't think we even received any rain.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking this morning when I first got up. I was like, did it rain last night? Did we get some? There is some light rain moving this way as of right now, but I don't know if there it was just a major dew fest last night. I have no idea what's going on, but the roads are a little wet this morning, so I found that kind of interesting, even though I didn't hear it rain one bit, even though I was probably out of it anyway.
Vehicles are covered with moisture, but fortunately it's not cold, so it wipes right off with the wiper. But yeah, it's an unusual weather pattern right now.
It's very spring-like right now.
Absolutely. And that made it really nice for me as I was traveling around the district. The weather was great. Of course, I took credit for that. Politician, they take credit for everything.
You know? Get everything you can get there.
Yeah, that's right. But the listening tour was really interesting and informative, beneficial for me. I was really glad that I was able to do that. We were in Altamont, Oswego, Parsons, Cherryvale, Independence, Chanute, Erie, and of course Coffeyville. And I found it interesting that there were a couple things I thought would be brought up more than they were, but those two topics, the topic of abortion or pro-life issues was only brought up at one stop, and then Medicaid expansion, which is not really apparently that interesting to a lot of people, was only brought up at one stop, and it was the very last stop. So those two topics, I kind of expected to hear from constituents about them on a regular basis, but didn't. Medical marijuana, or just marijuana in general, was brought up almost everywhere, because that's something I expect the legislature to look at. Did have a pharmacist that brought up something regarding marijuana that I found very interesting and I was unaware of. They said, look at Utah's laws as it relates to medical marijuana. But marijuana, Kyle, can interact with other prescription drugs that a person's taking in a negative way. So this pharmacist was basically saying, to my understanding, is, hey, if you guys are going to allow marijuana to be dispensed or given to Kansans, probably better have a pretty tight rein on it. And I'm in full agreement if we're going to, and I haven't even made up my mind if I would support such legislation yet, but I believe if we do, we better have very strong regulations, restrictions on it. And my concern, though, however, is you open the door to marijuana, how long would it be down the road before it's we're like Colorado? And I don't want that at all. I don't want that for myself or for future Kansans. And I've got future Kansans in my family, meaning they're here, but they're a lot younger than I am.
Right. And now I know Oklahoma has medical marijuana. I can't remember. Does Missouri have it? I can't remember if they have it offhand. The only reason I say that is because since they're both so close to us here in the area, because obviously you can just go just 2 miles down the road, you're in Oklahoma, and they do allow and believe me, you know it, because there's dispensaries all over the place down in Oklahoma since that was voted on, I do believe, in 2018 when that was voted on.
Yeah, and that's the sad reality is just a few years ago, Oklahoma did not. Mm-hmm. And now, like you said, it's all over everywhere. Dispensaries, every vacant storefront, seems like, has a dispensary in it. And to me, it's a joke on their medical marijuana, because there are billboards in Oklahoma that need a medical marijuana card, call Dr. whoever or go to this website and you can get a medical marijuana. Well, Kyle, that's really not what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And so Kansas wants to learn from the errors of our neighbors to the south. And, you know, nothing against the Oklahoma legislature, but things I think have gotten a little bit out of hand and gone a little bit further than what they intended in Oklahoma.
Exactly. So, again, that's a few things. What were some other things that you heard on your listening tour?
Well, wind farms, of course, was a big issue in Labette County, particularly. But it's starting to be an issue in Montgomery, as well as Neosho. Neosho is a little bit behind the game because they have wind farms up there. And there are a lot of residents who are not pleased about what has happened in Neosho County. Of course, Labette County did something historic. earlier this week when they recalled a county commissioner. And really, I believe, from my discussion with most residents of Labette County, it was sort of a referendum on wind farms, if you will. Now, the legislature has plans, because I've had conversations with Senator Thompson, who's chair of utilities. Legislature has plans to look at passing legislation that would place some pretty serious restrictions on wind farms. Now, what all that would entail, don't know yet. And will it be multifaceted? I believe that we will take a really hard look at it. We had legislation last session, Senate Bill 279, that would have been beneficial, but it's too big a topic for one bill, one session, one small hearing. So I believe that I'm not on utilities at this time. I did ask to be on utilities. We'll find out in a couple weeks, and I'll come back, circle back around to the committee assignments. But we do want to make certain that whatever we do is protecting Kansas citizens, because once those wind turbines are constructed and they are up in the air spinning, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like an automobile that you can move from one location to another, or even a mobile home you can move from one location to another. They're pretty permanent. They do have a shelf life, or they're only good for a certain period of time, and then they need major repairs, renovations, from what I understand. And then those wind turbine blades, they don't deteriorate. If their usefulness is past, then they're generally, from what I am being told, taken to a landfill. Well, those wind turbines are 150 feet long. It takes a pretty good landfill to accommodate one of them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, I think we've all seen them when they're going down the road, when they're like being transported to a site, and you just see how long they are and how wide they are as well. So, again, they take up a lot of space.
Yes, and that's the thing. You don't realize when they're up in the air, off in a field, spinning around, how large they are.
Mm-hmm.
And to look at one, it's a little bit, maybe, if you will, majestic to look at, that constant moving. But then after a short period of time, it's no longer majestic.
Right.
It can be annoying. But wind farms was brought up. And, of course, the sales tax on food, better termed sales tax on groceries, because we're not going to look at eliminate the sales tax on food, because you can get food from local restaurants, Egbert's, McDonald's, and on and on. So that's food. We're not looking at eliminating the sales tax on food, but on groceries, which are pretty much items you get at the grocery store that you need to take home to prepare for consumption.
Yeah, not like some from the deli, which is something that's pretty much already prepared for you. You just pick it up and you take it home and eat it.
Yeah, it'd be
something you actually have to fix yourself. So,
or if you're like me, Kyle, you kind of eat it on the way home.
Oh yeah, that too. And it's like by the time you get home, I was going to eat this when I got here. Now it's already gone. So, but
yeah,
believe me, with the French fries over at the Big M, half of them are already gone by the time I get home. I'm like, oh come on. So,
what happened? What are French fries?
They're so delicious,
and it's becoming more and more of an issue, if you will, to assist Kansans, as we were talking about before we came on the air. Food prices are up significantly, and those of us who go to grocery stores and actually buy food, we have seen that. According to the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics, in November, of course, that would have meant that they were talking about October prices, and things have changed even since then, but food prices for the year were up 5.4%, and I was shocked in reading that report. Beef prices are up, and I'm not talking about beef prices for our producers, our ag producers, our farmers, our cow-calf operators, but when you buy the meats. But beef prices are up 17.6% for the year.
Yeah, like I was telling you, I got a pound of ground beef the other day. It was nearly $8. It's just, unfortunately, it's gotten really, really almost out of control with the prices. So, again, a reduction or at least an elimination would help out a lot of families.
It would. Other meat prices are not like pork, poultry. They're up 10.5%, 10.5%. So all prices are up. So it is time. My hand will be in the air. Well, actually, we don't raise our hands. We just voice vote. But I will be supporting a reduction or elimination of the food or the grocery sales tax in the state of Kansas. Now, there are a couple things that were talked about during the listening tour that I think are important for radio listeners to be aware of, and that is the state budget is around $8 billion. Now, that's a lot higher than that's necessary to my way of thinking. It should be a lot smaller, but it's not. It's $8 billion. If we eliminate the sales tax on groceries, we're looking at about a $400 to $450 million reduction. Okay, how does $8 billion and $400 million relate? $400 million is 5% of $8 billion.
Wow.
So, is the Kansas legislature willing to control spending or cut spending by 5%? I'm willing. I think government spending is too big. But right now, honestly, we don't have to, sadly. I shouldn't say sadly because it's mixed emotions. Depends on how we handle it. But right now, it looks like the state will have probably around $2 billion excess revenue at the end of the current fiscal year. And as you and Representative Blex talked about last week, revenue collections to the state of Kansas are continuing to exceed expectations. So I think we need to address that. But if we have a $400 million reduction in revenue to the state, which again, I support, I'm not criticizing at all. But what happened last time we reduced taxes, what some people call the brownback tax experiment. Now, I don't care what you call it. We reduced taxes in 2012, but we didn't reduce them $400 million a year. And then what happened? The legislature kept spending like drunken sailors. I can say that because I was in the legislature. I didn't support those increases in spending, but spending increases kept going up. And then what happened in 2017? The largest tax increase in the history of Kansas. And that largest tax increase in the history of Kansas has proven to be totally unnecessary because we're looking at a $2 billion budget surplus. And so it's my point in bringing all this up for the listeners is there's a lot of considerations as it relates to making major decisions like this. And I think it's a good idea. It should have been done years ago. Most states do have a reduction or no sales tax on groceries. Helps all of us, but particularly those who are a little bit lower income, it helps them proportionally a lot more. But so with food prices being up, this is a perfect time to do something. But I do want to warn everyone that, okay, if we're going to eliminate this revenue source, we better reduce spending, better control spending. I do know that in the listening tour, Representative Rich Perrell joined me in Labette County, which was really good. I appreciate when House members join because they need to hear what I'm hearing as a state senator. He mentioned that one of his priorities is establishing a rainy day or emergency fund in the state budget and funding it. We should. It's always amazed me, Colin, Kansas doesn't have some type of an emergency rainy day fund. Yeah. Most people should.
Yeah, I know they have that with me living in Oklahoma pretty much all my life. I know the state down there has a rainy day fund as well where they stash extra cash away to for just in case of a rainy day.
Absolutely. Emergencies come, rainy days happen, and so it's important to be ready for that. I'm going to circle back around to the committees. I mentioned that I had requested to be placed on the Utilities Committee. I had also been asked to serve on the Education Committee and some others. So the announcements haven't been made, and I'm sure the decisions have been made, so I don't know for certain what committees I will have. And this all goes back to the misconduct of our majority leader with alcohol, and then Republicans removed him. So when we removed him from majority leader, we had to replace him. The man we replaced him with, Senator Larry Alley from Winfield, was chair of Federal and State Affairs Committee and on other committees. Majority leader's too busy to be on committees, so that means we've got to shuffle them around.
Right.
So I'm looking forward. I'm most likely going to get a pretty good position on a powerful committee I'm looking forward to, but again, the announcement's not made. Next time we'll get together or sometime between now and then, we'll make that known. And then finally, before we totally run out of time, I do want to join in congratulating the city of Coffeyville for the USDA, United States Department of Agriculture, grant that they received. It's right at $625,000 to assist in homes for low-income Kansans in the area. Kyle, we meaning area residents, even yourself and myself, have talked in the past about the fact that one of our issues in southeast Kansas is we don't have adequate housing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, like Bartlett Co-op, really expanding. I'm thrilled about that. But we need to make sure that we have the workforce.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. We talked to Charlotte Brown and before the vote earlier this year for the extension of the half-cent sales tax, that for 10 years in Coffeyville itself, not one new home was built for 10 years. And that's just, I mean, that it's hard to expand your population if you don't have any new housing.
My goodness, I didn't realize it had been that bad, long period of time.
It was quite a while.
But I do know there's been some now. There are some people who are investing. And you can also renovate existing homes as long as they're structurally sound. But I thought that was a good thing. It's federal money that's coming to the city of Coffeyville. 20 homes are what's planned over the next couple of years. So, again, I think it's going to be a positive thing, and I just want to join in congratulating. I did what I could as a state senator in assisting that, but the kudos go to the city of Coffeyville and the people here that work so hard in applying for that grant and making certain that it did come to the citizens. The last thing I'll mention is you and Representative Blex talked about revenue last week, and I didn't hear the whole interview, so I apologize if I repeat something that was said. But there were new revenue estimates that were mentioned in, or not mentioned, but that were made in November, the 10th of November. They updated the revenue estimates, and November numbers still exceeded the updated estimates. The reason I bring this up is other states also are exceeding their revenue estimates. For example, Missouri's got $4 billion, Colorado $3.3 billion in excess. Kansas right now is at 1.3, so we're below. So, yeah, we're proud of having excess revenue. Doesn't mean we should spend it, but unless we're going to give it back to the people in the forms of tax cuts. So my point is, we like to brag about things in Kansas, and I'm a Kansan. I'm proud of Kansan, but other states are doing pretty well as well. But and to just finally, because I know we're just right up against the clock, I do want to wish everyone Merry Christmas. I will not be back to visit on the air most likely until after Christmas. At least I'm not scheduled to. Christmas will be in a couple weeks, and you know, Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas to people. It's one of those things that we celebrate every year. It's as the song goes, I kind of have to agree. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Absolutely. I definitely agree with you on that. And I hope you do have a very Merry Christmas as well, if we don't see you again until Christmas. Thank you so much for coming in this morning, Mr. Peck, and we will talk to you again next month.
Look forward to it.